Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew chapter 20. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1026. That's 1026. We'll be reading the first seven verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Shall we stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church, to stand during the reading of the Scripture? The text verse is the seventh verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the evening to hire laborers, early in the morning, to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And let's read together also the text verse, verse 7. They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And let's pray. Father, this is your eternal word. We thank you that we're privileged to own and hold copies of it. Thank you for its preservation. Thank you for a church that believes and practices what this book says. We're all human. We don't do it perfectly, but we indeed love thy word, and we love the preaching of it. Bless, we pray, and help us as we hear once again a message from thy book and from thy messenger, our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful.
Our church has been shaken this week by two very untimely deaths. A man and a woman taken in two different ways, and yet I think they're about the same age, 47 years of age. And I've had this message. As you know, I prepare messages all the time, and this message has been in my little folder I keep for messages for several weeks. I intended to preach it several weeks ago, but for some strange reason I did not. And then I thought the next Sunday, and now for about three or four Sundays I've intended to preach it and put it off because I felt like it wasn't the time. Now I understand why. I'm going to speak today on the subject that God and I don't always agree. God and I don't always, we get along fairly well, but we don't always agree. I could give a subtitle of the message, Whatsoever is Right, That Shall You Receive. I read it for you in our text a while ago. Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Now I'm going to read two other verses for you. And listen carefully, but when the first came, they supposed they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. That's not our penny, it's a measure of money, but not our penny. Not what you put in the offering plate this morning. When they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no harm. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? I called your attention to a little statement that's made on more than one occasion here. Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. This will be one of the most unusual sermons, because I'm going to tell you how God and I sometimes have a little controversy with each other. I want you to listen carefully, especially toward the last half of the message. So I'll wake you up when it's time to start hearing. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a help. Help me to be that this morning, please. That's all I ask. Help me to be a help and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you this story. A certain man went out to hire some workers to work in the field. Don't leave me now. And be still over here. No moving around now. Everybody still. No moving around. Ushers, don't let folks in while I'm preaching now. And no leaving the service while I preach at all. This is not important. Let's all go home. Watch Chicago Bears. You know how the Chicago Bears count, don't you? 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, 0-7. And they'll learn to count higher, I'm convinced. A certain man needed to hire some workers to work in his field. Bible says he goes out early in the day. We find out later on in the story that it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And he hires some workers to work in his field. And then he goes out and needs some more. He goes out at 9 o'clock in the morning and hires some more workers to work in his field. He goes out again at noon and hires some more workers to work in his field. Look at me now, everybody listening. He goes out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and hires some more workers to work in his field. He goes out at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and hires some more workers to work in his field. All of them work till 6 o'clock at night. Now that means some people work 12 hours. And some people work 9 hours. And some people work 6 hours. And some people work 3 hours. And some people worked 1 hour. Now when pay time came, he gave them all exactly the same amount of money. Now those that went to work early in the morning began to complain about it. And they said, this is not fair because we've worked 12 hours. And these rascals over here get the same amount of money we get, and they've only worked for 1 hour. It's not fair. Now, I'll be honest with you, this parable has always bothered me. They got the same wages. The fella, I don't mean per hour, I mean per day. The fella that worked 1 hour got exactly the same amount of money that the fella got who worked for 12 hours. Now, what's God trying to teach us here? Don't miss this. Don't miss this statement right here. What is God trying to teach us? I believe God is trying to teach us that we do not always agree with him. I know I did, sure don't. I don't agree with God here. Do you think it's fair? Now, be honest. Do you think it's fair if a fellow works 12 hours all day long in the hot sun, in the heat of the day, and he gets the same wage that the guy gets that works from 5 to 6 in the evening? I don't believe that. But God does. Don't you, businessmen, forget that now, those of us that work for you. Brother Colston, for example, he said this fellow went out early in the evening because that's when he gets up. When he read the scripture a while ago, he said he went out early in the evening, and that evening is early for Brother Colston. In fact, he's not awake yet, as you could tell a while ago. But anyway, it doesn't make sense to me. I'll be honest with you. I just don't agree with God on this parable. I cannot see that it's right for a man who works 12 hours to get the same pay of a man who works 1 hour. By the way, that's what faith is. Faith is believing that God is right when we disagree. Don't miss this now. But see, you and I don't think like God. You say it doesn't make sense to me. But see, it so happens that you and I are flesh. And I'm convinced that one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, why God put this parable here is to let us know that we don't see things just eye to eye. I cannot see the logic, but I know it's right. You say it's right to give a fellow the same wages from 5 to 6 as you give the fellow that worked 12 hours? Yeah. You say you believe it's right?
No, I don't believe it's right. But I believe it's right.
Because I trust God's judgment more than mine. You see. It doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense to me. Let me give you our definition of faith. Don't miss this now. Hey, this is what faith is to you.
I'm on a quote. I'm quoting myself here.
Faith, our definition, if we're honest, this is how we would define faith. Are you listening to me? I have confidence to believe that he will do it like I think it should be done. When you say I've lost my faith in him, it means that he finally did something like you didn't think it ought to be done. Now, that's not faith at all. You didn't have faith in him. You didn't have faith in that in Mr. Sisson over here. When you agreed with him and had faith in him until he did something to your child you didn't agree with. You said, I've lost my faith in him. No, you never had any faith in him. You only believed he was right if you agreed with the way you would have done it, but it so happens you'd never been a principal of an elementary school. That's the great secret of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. You've never pastored a church, most of you. And because you've never pastored a church, when I do something that you don't agree with, you believe that I know more about pastoring a church than you do, and you trust me, then that's what faith is. But our definition of faith, I give it again, says I have confidence to believe that he will do it like I think it should be done. And that's the kind of feeling that most of you have in your leaders. You don't, and that's not faith. It's faith. You have faith in you. And as long as you do it, like I think, for example, I can't lead a choir. I mean, it'd be a joke. I could make them stand up together and sit down together and hold their books right. But you ain't never heard such a special we'd have if I lead the choir. But there's sometimes when you might lead the choir that I don't think you're doing it right. But faith is, I think you're right, and I'm wrong when I disagree with you. Now, you don't have faith in this man right here, as a high school principal, in him. If your faith is, I believe in him as long as he does it like I think it ought to be done. And I said again, that's the great secret of this church. You sometimes don't agree with me, but you say I've never pastored a church. And if I have, you could put my church in the corner of this section over here. I've never had the load to carry Brother Howes has to carry. So I don't agree with him always, but when I disagree with him, I think he's right and I'm wrong concerning the work of the church. Now the next step is this. Follow me carefully. Don't leave me. The sermon's going to get better later on. I know what you're saying. I hope so, yeah. The next step is this. First step, I have confidence to believe that he will do it like I think it should be done. The next step in faith is this. I cannot see it, but God will explain it someday, and then I will understand. Now, that is not pure faith. You say, wait a minute now. If I trust God to explain later, and I believe I don't agree with him, but I think someday he will explain why, and his logic will be explained to me, so I trust him. Isn't that pure faith? No, it is a dead sure better than the first one, but it's not pure faith. So I wrote a song. We'll understand it better by and by. Now, you say, okay, I believe that this is what God and I don't agree on this. I would not have done it this way if I had been God. But I believe that one day God will explain. Now, that is better than the first, but pure faith is, I don't ever need an explanation. I don't agree with God, but if I don't see it eye to eye, I think he's right and I'm wrong. And if I die and never understand why he did what he did, I still believe God was right and I was wrong. And if I get to heaven and in eternity, I never learn why God did what he did, I still believe that God was right and I was wrong. Pure faith. Let me give you the three steps again. No faith is, I have faith in him as long as he does it like I think it should be done. That's what most of you have in most people. Second, I have faith to believe that he's right and I'm wrong and someday I'll understand. Third, and pure faith is this. I don't agree with God, but if I never find out why, in Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to those who love God. If I never find out why it was for good, I still believe that God is right. Now, I'm going to tell you things that God and I disagree about. Follow me carefully. It's going to shock you. You may fire me after this sermon. I'll just get my Bermuda shorts out and go to Florida and play shuffleboard. But listen carefully. I don't agree with God that Achan and his family should have been stoned because he got that gold wedge of gold and that Babylonian garment. Here's a guy that for his wife got a new coat in Babylon and Jericho, rather, in Jericho, and got a wedge of gold. That's all he did. Now, I think he should have gone to jail for a month. But he got stoned to death. And his wife was stoned to death, and she didn't have anything to do with it. Before I get through, you're not going to believe in God. See, your God has to do it like you see it, and that's not God. That's not the true and living God. That's idolatry. Let's go a step further. I don't believe that God should have killed Ananias and Sapphira because it didn't give all the money they got for that house. That makes sense to me. I'm sorry, I love you, I trust you, but I don't agree with you. I expected lightning to strike. But now, wait a minute. I don't agree with that. I just think that was overdoing it. Here's a couple. They may have tithed and got killed. They sold a house and did not give all the profits to God, and God killed them. I mean, right there in church. I don't agree with that. Something else. I don't agree with God in letting Peter preach on Pentecost. I think John should have preached on Pentecost. Here's a guy, 50 days ago was cussing. 50 days ago he denied Jesus. 50 days ago he denied the faith. 50 days ago he said he didn't belong to the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. 50 days. And now look at that rascal. That cussing man who left Jesus in his darkest hour. I don't think Peter ought to preach on Pentecost. I think John the Beloved should preach on Pentecost. Tell you something else I don't agree with. Anybody here still believe in God? I don't believe God should put Rahab the harlot in Hebrews chapter 11. You understand, here's a gal that was a prostitute. Sold her body to wicked men as the salesman came into Jerusalem, or Jericho, sold her body, and God put her in the 11th chapter of Hebrew. I don't agree with that. By the way, you don't either. She came to First Baptist Church, you wouldn't even sit within 10 rows of her. But God put that former whore, harlot, prostitute, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I just do not agree. And while we're talking about this, I don't think God made a good choice of Saul to be the king. While we're talking about this, I don't believe God. This is where I really have a controversy with God. I don't believe God should have chosen Jacob to make a prince and name the nation Israel after Jacob. Why, that sorry, good-for-nothing, effeminate. He wore an earring, I think. Probably wore a necklace. Home making chili while his brother's out hunting. God have mercy on his sissy soul. Nothing irritates me any more than to be in a hotel room and trying to get some news, and some man's cooking. Men weren't made to cook. Men were made to wash the dishes. But this sorry rascal deceived his brother, got the birthright, which means he got the double portion of his father's inheritance. He got to be in the lineage of the Messiah and became a part and was given the priestly rights in the family. That's what he stole from his brother. And then when his father was sick, he tricked his father, made his father think he was his brother, and got the blessings of his of that Esau should have gotten. Why are you sorry, Jacob? And you know what God did? God turns around and names the whole nation after him. He names his nation after him. I think they'll be called Abrahamites instead of the Israelites. I'm saying, I don't always agree with God. I don't agree with God. Now, I really don't agree with God here. I don't agree that God should have chosen three murders to write over a third of the Bible. 4/11 of the chapters of the Bible were written by murderers. Moses, Paul, and David. Now, you wouldn't do that. I'm saying I've got some problems with God today. I don't agree. While we're griping, let's just... I don't believe God... this is one that I'm only... I need some explanation to that. You know who God called the wisest man in the whole world? Guy had 700 wives and 300 substitutes. Or combines, as the farmer said. God called him the wisest man in the whole world. I have some problems with God here. I don't agree with God in sending the flood. I don't agree with God in calling David a man after his own heart. I don't believe, I really think this is dirty. I don't believe that God did right when Moses didn't get to see the promised land or go in it. All he did was lose his temper. You ever lose your temper? You ever lose your temper? You ever gain yours? Moses lost his temper, got mad at the southerners. He said, "Whoa, ye rebels! Better watch it. God has a certain hedge he's built around southern people." I don't agree. I don't agree that God should let Satan do what he did to Job. I don't agree that God should turn Lot's wife into a pillar of salt just because she did that. That's all she did. And I don't agree with that. It doesn't say she did anything else. She just looked back. I don't agree. I don't agree that God should use David to write so much of his Bible after his sins. I don't believe that God should choose Jonah for the great revival in Nineveh. I don't agree God should chosen a man with Matthew's dishonest background to be an apostle and write the first book in the New Testament. I don't believe that... Now, this one, boy, is hard for me to understand. I don't believe that God should have made Isaac marry somebody he'd never seen. I mean, this guy went out to the home country and brought a bride. She may have weighed 500 pounds. She may have had a big wart around the end of her nose. She may have had one tooth. It didn't matter. Now, I'll be honest, I don't believe in a fellow having to marry somebody he's never seen. It's obvious that's what your wife did. I don't agree in blessing Old Testament men that had several wives. I don't agree with God there. I don't agree with God when he didn't let Paul tell us what he saw in the third heaven. Why couldn't Paul have told us and written down what he saw and we'd have known what was up there? I don't agree with that. I don't agree with God giving the prodigal son more attention than he gave the son that stayed home and worked all the time. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with Judy Vest being taken at 47. I don't agree with it. I don't agree with Mr. D's being taken at 47. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with Steve Staten being taken from his family when he was just a young man. I don't agree with God allowing my mother to go through what she had to endure. I don't agree with the many battles that have come my way all these years. I don't agree with God making Ms. Evans endure what she goes through. And quite frank with you, I don't really understand the plan of salvation. Oh, I know it. But it looks like to me a guy that lived a real good life ought to go to heaven. Here's a guy. Here's that thief on the cross. Here's a thief on the cross. Never did one solitary thing but trust Jesus. He goes to heaven. Here's a guy that never stole anything and never robbed anybody and never committed a crime. Here's a guy that dies and goes to hell. That doesn't make sense to me, but bless God, it doesn't have to make sense to me. I believe God is right. I say, all these things I would have done differently from God. But in every area, I believe God is right. And I'm wrong. He may choose someday to explain to me why he's right and I'm wrong, but he doesn't have to explain to me. I still believe that God is right. I believe God was right when he put Rahab in the hall of heroes in Hebrews 11. I believe God was right when he chose Peter to preach on Pentecost. I believe God was right when he took Judy Vest on to heaven. I believe God was right when he took Steve Staten on to heaven. I believe God was right when he took Mr. Dees on to heaven. I believe God was right when he sent the flood. I believe God was right when he killed Ananias and Sapphira. I believe God was right when God chose Rahab and put her in the hall of heroes. I'm saying, I believe he's right. I don't agree with him, but I'm flesh. He's God. I'm weak. He's strong. I'm sinful. He's perfect. He's God. He makes no mistakes. Say, well, Brother Hiles, we'll understand it better by and by. We may, but we don't have to. I don't have to. If God never tells me when I get to heaven why these two people in the midst of their lives, one of them one of the finest ladies in this church and the other giving his life to be a preacher and his goal and dream was to be ordained someday with Jack Hiles. If I never understand it, he's still my God and I trust him. For he's God, he's good, he's omniscient, and he's right. Now listen to this statement, and I'll be through. I want the families who are bereaved to listen. I want a church that's been shaken to listen. Listen very, very carefully. The greatest joy of the Christian life is to trust him and need no explanation. The greatest thing that you can do for God, my Bible says faith pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. The greatest thing that you'll ever do for God is to trust him and ask for no explanation, either here or in eternity. So, God is right when he stoned Achan. God was right when he killed Ananias and Sapphira. God was right when he chose Peter to preach on Pentecost. God was right in putting Rahab, the harlot, in the hall of heroes. God was right in choosing Saul to be king. God was right to make Jacob a prince and name the nation after him. God was right to choose three ex-murderers to write 4/11 of the Bible. God was right when he called Solomon the wisest man in the whole world. God was right when he sent the flood. God was right when he called David a man after his own heart. God was right by not letting Moses enter the promised land. God was right in letting Satan do what he did to Job. God was right in turning Lot's wife into a pillar of salt. God was right and using David to write so much of the Bible after his great sins. God was right to choose Jonah to preach the revival in Nineveh. God was right to choose Matthew as an apostle. God was right to give Isaac a wife he'd never seen. God was right to bless Old Testament men who had more than one wife. God was right in not letting Paul tell us what he saw in the third heaven. God was right, the prodigal son getting more attention than the faithful son that stayed home. God was right when he said it's time for Judy Vest to go to heaven. And God was right when he said it's time for Mr. Bees to go to heaven. And God was right when he said, I want Steve Staten to come to heaven. And God was right when he let your little boy endure what he endured. And God was right when he let you be paralyzed. He's always right. He's God. God is right, Mrs. Evans, in letting you endure what you've had to go through. Boy, don't you think somebody comes to me and says to me, okay, I mentioned it last week, I think it was recently, Wells Walker. When I led the people to give $80,000 to a college to save its buildings when we couldn't even save our own, listen to me. That man stood up that day at Deacon's meeting and said, doesn't make sense to me. We need the money ourselves, and you want us to give $80,000. Give it away. It doesn't make sense to me. But preacher, if that's what you think we ought to do, I make a motion that we do it. Boy, that pleases me. And it pleases God when you and I look to him and say, I don't understand why Willie Buckle was taken. I don't understand that. In fact, I don't even agree with it. But I'm wrong. And you're right. For he maketh no mistakes. He's God. He's good. He's omniscient. And as our text said this morning, whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Yesterday morning during the funeral, I looked over this building and I saw people just, everywhere I looked, I saw some people I've been through the fires with. And I looked this morning, see Mrs. Buckle shaking her head. God was right to take Willie. God was right to take that right arm of yours, Dan. And God was right to give that baby the problem that you have. And God was right to put you in the wheelchair. And God's right to put Ms. Hiles and me through the fire so many times. He's God. He's good. He's perfect justice. And whatever he does is right. Even if my little peanut mind does not agree with him. Would you bow your heads, please?